professor at Tennessee State University, which is in Nashville. And if you've not worked with Dharma before, he does some amazing work, and he's going to share some of that with us today on diagnosing mineral nutrition deficiencies using visual symptoms. And just some outstanding work. So I'm really pleased you can be with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Mickelson, and thank you for coming. And here we are in the modern times of a digital world. We are more familiar with black and white, you know, textbooks and so on, where visual symptoms are. So we are very familiar, but not a whole lot. So we use that digital technology to develop more precise, sort of see the subtle differences in the visual symptoms. That's one way. It's not a whole lot, okay? So one way of looking at the visual symptoms, okay? And the other way of analyzing would be a tissue analysis, soil analysis, that what Mickelson was mentioning about it. And with that, we were fortunate that we had some funding from International Plant Nutrition Institute that we worked together, and also the Simplot that funded some of the project. We put together the plant nutrition diagnostic by species. So far, we have done for broccoli, and which is available. It's very inexpensive. It's $2.99, I presume. Okay. It goes for funding the research. The other one is plant nutrition potato. So it's available. At least slightly the price gone up because of private sector involves $4.99. Okay. But both are is available. These are some of the, we all very familiar with all this nutrition work. I'm not saying that, but when we look at it and we went on stages, okay, right from the incipient or hidden and all the way through. And all these studies were done under hydroponic system, okay, and a soilless culture. And we programmed all the nutrition part of it and put together. And then we follow through, do a tracking system, not a FedEx sort of tracking system, our own tracking system. And we managed to come up with a whole lot of it. And today I'm going to discuss with you randomly. Not a whole lot, because it's a lot of images, a lot of pictures, just on the visual symptoms. What are the things that I overlooked in the past and the mistakes that I made, maybe we all made, and now how is it going to be helpful to them, okay? Just to give you a summary of nitrogen deficiency symptoms. Generally, the symptoms develop from the oldest leaves, the lowermost oldest leaf, if a plant has it. It doesn't matter whether it is a annual or a perennial plant. It always starts with the oldest leaves, and then from the tips, it just starts to break down the protein, regenerate, and then translocate. Okay, that's what we found. And not older leaf, it must be the older, lowermost oldest leaf across. That I have across. There is some sort of assumptions or based on the studies done on almost about 40 plus species. Okay. And here is a potato. Fair enough. The lower leaves are uniform nitrogen deficiency, very uniform. Okay. First will be light green, and then gradually light green turn into much more deeper light chlorotic green, and then necrosis follow through. Okay. And one other interesting part of this lack of nitrogen, on top of this lack of nitrogen, will be the leaves, the young leaves and maturing leaves will be upright. Okay. So this is what you are going to see, that compared to a plant with loaded with nitrogen, or we supply the normal recommended rate of nitrogen, these leaves will be more of the leaf orientation differs. So these extra informations we were able to obtain from these studies, okay? And these respond, most species respond a similar way, where the leaves are more of upright and also flowering slightly earlier. Okay, it induced flowering earlier than a standard, okay? Okay. And here, much more a close-up look. And generally, the plant looks lighter green. And this is a control. And whenever when you lack of any nutrients, it's
the picture's fading away. Okay. the projectors. I think it's coming back. Okay.
Okay.
You're just going to sleep.
And,
doesn't look happy, does it?
Maybe it could be a memory issue, because each file is about, original file is about one, more than a meg, some are two or some are three meg, high resolution images, and always reduce in size, lighter green, and so on and so forth. Those are the, basic things, okay? Here are more pictures of, do you see that? Oh. Okay. All right. So here is the normal plant. Okay. Yellowing. And then further down where at the advanced stage, okay, where severe stage, where necrosis begin to develop. And this stage is too late to salvage. Okay. Nothing can be done. As long as it is yellow, it's alive. If you need to be, depending on the crop, you can turn them into green, okay? But not when at this stage, all right? Okay? So that's something that need to know. And this is just a progression of the symptoms from initial and then next stage, and then it's severe, okay? Just the progressions of nitrogen in potato, okay? And look at the reduction size, leaf area, in terms of biomass, which I'm not going to go into it. I'm just going to present to you the visual part of it. Okay? Okay? Here it's the more symptoms of nitrogen deficiency in potatoes. Okay? Okay? Here is, the light is back. Okay. Here is the, in butter lettuce. Okay? Here is the control. And it's always the lowermost leaf. First will be lighter green. And then turn into a much more uniform chlorosis, yellow, total yellow. And that yellow turn into the necrosis, okay? And if you want to look at one single leaf, this is what it's going to look like, okay? Okay. And this chlorosis is not the same across all species, okay? No. Okay. Some species are different. Some, they have a reddish pigmentation, a pinkish pigmentation that's coming into picture. Don't ask me why. It could be due to some species much tend to have that color compared to others. So it's not the same across all species. So if you happen to go to a field, okay, it is yellow or it is reddish. So we tend to misdiagnose for phosphorus. Of course, we do not want to wait until this happens in the field, but then just to bring to attention that this is not phosphorus, it's actually nitrogen. Okay? I don't know the color. Okay, now it's slightly better. Okay? This is just a progression of the symptoms of nitrogen deficiency in broccoli. Okay? How it just gradually changes from light yellow to reddish pigmentation. Broccoli, okay? It's not chlorosis, okay? Okay? And then we also look into some tropical exotic plants, papaya, okay? Carica papaya, okay? Okay? And it's a tinge of pinkish, okay? A tinge of pinkish is there, okay? And don't ask me why, this is how these particular species respond, that the yellow plus the pinkish, and that color also notice on the root system. Okay? Some species are tend to develop this pigmentation even in the root system. Okay? So, but then it's not possible in the field conditions because it's hydroponic system, but just to bring it to you, to what is really happening, that we have the technology now, we can do that, whatever, okay? Okay. And this is not the case in all. Look at this is blueberry. Okay. If not of the title, I would have been mistaken that is more of phosphorus. Yeah. Okay. 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 Okay, that the on your on my left is the control normal plant. This is on the right is the blueberry with the pigmentations. Okay, and that pigmentation start with the again it starts with a lower leaf and then progress upward. It's a lighter pinkish pigmentation gradually moves up. Okay.
We can change the projector quickly.
Oh, okay. Okay, I think it's a projector bulb life. Okay, now. Sorry about that. Okay. So some plants somehow you notice a blueberry, and then the broccoli, they're more cold tolerant. Is that could be the reason for pinkish pigmentation? Or maybe those plants are slow growing plants. So you could see the different hue rather than, because in tropics, even though the plants start to have a yellowing, but you don't see that because of the very drastic changes in the metabolic activities. So right from initial yellow, it will be necrotic. Okay, you don't see the fall color also in the tropics. It's part of the reason is the gradual process, you don't see it. This one maybe could be a reason. So here is another, is that color? Okay. So here is the reddish pigmentation. And then this is normal. Okay. Here, another angle of the plant. That's the normal plant. Deeper green. And it's a reddish pigmentation. Okay, now it's better. Okay. So when you put together all the leaves, right from the oldest leaves and the youngest leaves, okay, this is a healthy plant. This is deprived of nitrogen. So the reduction in growth, leaf area, and the discoloration. Okay. And fine enough, even the veins turn pinkish. Okay, or reddish, depending on how you see the color, but then you don't see it, not yellowing or chlorosis. Okay. Okay. This more example, just close up of one to one with the older leaf and with the, deprived of nitrogen. Okay. It's a lighter green overall, similar to most plants, but reddish pigmentations developed. Okay. But this is not the case, even though you provide nitrogen, but in the case of a blueberry, it's very interesting. The source of nitrogen is equally important. So the moment you apply nitrates, this is we apply with nitrates, you don't see, even though it's nitrogen is provided, what was earlier, we said the 4R comes in the right source, putting a wrong source, you still you get the lack of depriving showing symptoms of nitrogen deficiency. It's actually is 100% nitrate, that's why you get it. Okay. And when you put it 100% ammoniacal, you won't get it. Okay. So the source is important. So it's, I don't know whether you want to say that it is nitrogen deficiency or more specifically, it is more of a ammonium deficiency. Okay. Okay. Here, even the stems underneath, reddish pigmentation. More examples of lower leaves turning reddish and then gradually you progress upwards. Okay. This is in blueberry. Okay. And just looking at the leaf, individual leaf, and this is a clear, distinct pattern of reddish pigmentation due to nitrogen deficiency. That's in blueberry. Okay. Okay. Now I'm going to switch gear to, from nitrogen to, what could this be? Because earlier I showed you all the black and white. That is actually calcium deficiency in coffee. Okay. So calcium, unlike nitrogen, the symptoms develop on a younger leaf. Okay. Not on an older leaf. Okay. This is the normal plant. This is where you see the symptoms, necrotic spots. Okay. And side by side, when you look at it, the necrotic spots versus, and this I would consider is the initial stage. Okay. What would be the hidden symptoms? Even before that, if we could capture that, and with now with a digital camera, we could do that. So this is the range of symptoms of calcium deficiency, right from visual initial and then to initial. How is that possible? You see that? But if you zoom in, you can actually see the difference. So here you see the difference. Do you see the difference? This is where you see that. Okay. But we were able to do it because side by side with a control. If not, won't be able to do it. Okay. Side by side with a control, with a close observation, we were able to do it just with this image. We were not able to see the difference, but then there's a subtle difference that makes the unique about initial diagnosis. And this would be an easy way of salvaging or making the corrective measures, because calcium, anything that happened is straight away going to necrotic. And before necrosis, the root system also get very severely damaged. Okay. It takes about 4 to 5, or depending on how drastic it is, it takes that long for the symptoms to express in the shoot rather than the root. The roots also have a necrotic tips. Generally, the calcium deficiency first symptoms in most crops will be iron deficiency. It's due to calcium induced iron deficiency, because the root tips causing root death, and then the iron is not one of the first element that's going to express that. Okay? So that's what we come across. So, but I'm not going to complicate more about this. Just go stick to that. Okay? And then I want to switch gear to magnesium. Okay? I'm just going to throw some of the symptoms that what is out there. Okay? This is potato. In potato, there is a silhouette surrounding the margins. Okay? Some crops, they say it's along the margin, but the margin is normal, but it starts within the center, close to the main vein, and then spreads out. Okay? That's a control. Okay? And further down, this is just mild chlorosis from the primary vein. If you go further down, it gradually goes to yellow, and the necrosis is very fast. It's very rapid. In the case of magnesium for potato, okay? Okay? This another angle looking at it. So here is what light yellowing and then followed by green. These informations are available from the book, okay? And it's an e-book where you can zoom in, you can get much clearer picture. Okay? Okay. Yeah, this is in squash. Okay? This is normal. Okay, you get a silhouette along the margins of squash leaf, okay? This is at the initial stage. This is further down, okay? Chlorosis turn into necrosis, okay? This is a classic symptoms for squash. Here in the fig, okay? This is the first stage where similar to the potato, where the chlorosis begins along the primary vein and then gradually spreads from that and then get worse. Okay, it starts from here. Okay. And this is a symptoms that we found in fig, Ficus carica. Okay. And it's not, the symptoms does not develop on the oldest leaves, recently mature leaf. The oldest leaves are free from any symptoms. Because when you refer to any of the literature, it always refers to magnesium, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, and nitrogen. It all starts on the older leaf, but it's not older leaf generally. Is we are going to be more precise. It's more of recently mature leaf or maturing leaf. Okay, older leaves are free from these symptoms. That specific we are going to go into. Okay, that's what this digital technology has helped us, okay? And here is in the field crop conditions. This is oil palm, tropical crop, where there's a high demand for magnesium. So the chlorosis is seen from a distance. You can look at a close up of that leaf. So this is a normal leaf. This is the frond. Okay, this is the leaflets of the frond. Okay. So that's the sum of it. You might be understand how is it possible to take a hydroponic study to use that in real situations. Okay. So this helped me out in doing that. It is not just that a lab work that not being utilized for a field work. So this is what really happens. Okay. And this, just to give you a summary of, if you want to break them up into necrosis versus chlorosis and mature leaf versus young leaf, older leaf, and twisted, crinkling, what's the difference between calcium? Calcium and boron, those symptoms are almost similar to in terms of on a young leaf, but then is boron symptom is more of a crinkle, twisting, abnormality. Calcium is more of necrosis, but followed by abnormality, crinkling and so on. And then we talk about the phosphorus and so on. Phosphorus and so on, more mature leaf, not oldest leaf. Okay. Just to give you some of the, what do you call, a general outlook of what you out there to see that. Okay. And, shall we go for next or?
Well, just stop there.
Stop there. Okay.
Okay. I wanted to talk about when people use visual deficiency symptoms, sometimes it makes me nervous because you can get three experts out in the field. And everyone looks at it differently. Oh, it's a pest problem. No, it's a water problem. No, it's a nutrition problem, right? You've probably been in circumstances like that before. Now, is this sulfur or is it nitrogen or magnesium? And then the debate rages on even when you decide it's nutritional. So this little flowchart is really handy, but we're using some of Dr. Kitchen's work to go one step further where a farmer can go out and take a picture, or maybe key in some of this information, and it will go to an expert system and say, oh, this is likely magnesium based on the picture you sent me of papaya, or potato, or cucumber, or whatever it may be. And so I don't think it'll put us out of a job, you know, because of all of your expertise in this area, but I know Dr. Pichet can, he's really good at this, but I know for me, I've been doing it a long time. I still have some uncertainty about, you know, it's probably this, but it could be that. And so I think it's pretty exciting to have a tool where the farmer can say, okay, here's my crop, here's my stage of growth. Quick, send the picture. It references a database and says, you probably have this problem. It's pretty cool stuff. Instead of taking a little book out there and saying, well, yeah.
How soon do you expect that?
I think it's going to be a while still. Programmers always promise the world, you know. And in concept, it sounds so easy for me, you know. But there's a lot of things to look at still, but that's going to be coming for sure. Now, those types of data acquisition and artificial intelligence tools are going to revolutionize how we do things.
When can I expect my book on demons?
Well, I guess, Dr. Pichet, well, it depends on what kind of demons. He's a horticulturist.
Luckily.
Well, and so he's not really doing agronomic crops too much. You know, so a lot of people have done soybeans and maize and wheat, and he's obviously doing some of the crops that are a little more obscure, like figs. That's not a real common one, but you guys can talk. So we have a few minutes where Dr. Dunn comes, and so let's just have some discussions both about this, and then I have a few other questions I want to ask. Please, I have a question or a comment over here.
For corn brine person, is there a way to have a measure of the colors of the leaves or something like that? Or?
Okay, we tend to use a SPAD value. A lot of times we use SPAD value or and also some folks we're using the aerial imaging. So aerial imaging and SPAD value, we did a present a paper in the past. When it comes to passing, I have a presentation depending on the time, okay?
potassium initially when you are deprived of potassium, the plant will appear to be deeper green, compact. So it's going to be giving you wrong information. Okay, the plants are healthy, they are not going to put any fertilizer based on spec value because it's deeper green, darker green. Okay? So I don't see it's the color, the deeper green color, it's not, we are indispensable. One thing you must understand, being a trained horticulturist, they need us. Whatever tools they have to confirm that, the problem, you have to go and check. It could be a disease because of pathologies. A lot of times, potassium deficiency symptoms are being misdiagnosed as disease, blight, and so on. But blight and so on is more of a waste. You can see the fruit body or the fungus. Whereas for in the case of necrosis, you don't see that. It's always sunken, shriveled, dehydrated. The discoloration is because the cells, we have more pictures of cellular levels. You get ruptures. When the ruptures or the phenolic compounds get oxidized, then initially you start give a gray color, and that's what giving a deeper green color from a distance. Okay? And then the gray will turn into black, black to brown. So depending on what stage of that development you're visiting your crop, you're taking a photograph, your time is important. Because you turn around and say, okay, this is what happened. No, it must happen something else before that. And once necrosis comes in, there is food supply, and then pathogens out there are going to cause infection. So a lot of times we are diagnosing the secondary or tertiary causes rather than the primary cause of plant health. Just like human being. Why I'm going to see a doctor if I'm healthy? Okay, if I do exercise, good food, good nutritious food, with all the supplements, I should be okay. So the root cause is we are not leading a healthy lifestyle. So if we don't provide a balanced fertilizer, you don't have to resort to all these diagnoses of nutrient deficiency and so on and so forth. So a balance for our nutrient stewardship is very critical. Okay, is nitrogen deficiency in blueberry? No, we are putting a wrong source of nitrogen. You see? So we found that it's almost 75 to 80%, not 100% nitrogen is ideal for blueberry. So that's only for one crop. So we are working towards more precise, cross-specific nutrient management. That's all it's all about. I don't know. I don't know. Okay, that's a good question. What could be the source for blueberry, okay? There's no such thing as best source. You have to look into other factors, okay? You also need to look into the salinity, okay? The stage of the plant, okay? Generally, and then the pH, your soil, and then your water quality. If your water is high in pH, you have to adjust to acidic, okay? So the pH should be between 5 to 5.5. That's ideal under controlled environment, okay? But then for fertilizer, it has to be 80%, around 80% ammoniacal nitrogen, and 25% or 20% is nitrate nitrogen, not 100%. Saying that, your ammoniacal nitrogen going to be either ammonium chloride or ammonium sulfate or ammonium nitrate or urea. So whichever you are going to use it. So that is going to cause you also a problem because we know found that higher pH urea cause some other problem or to blueberry plants are sensitive to urea with a higher pH. You tend to have something like black netting along the veins. Okay. Okay.
Organic nutrients work well on for nitrogen delivery because they really all start off as the ammonium form. And we never recommend any chloride forms because blueberries are actually highly sensitive in a negative way to chloride.
In general, ammonium sulfate is
preferred. Best. Preferred form.
So you might think of beans as a crop, but I'm the thing you're curing as a seed banker. All my regeneration in the greenhouse, and I get a lot of symptoms on everything, and I got 40 I could really use your foot. Just think of me.
Just check with the Plant Nutrition Institute. They will. Okay. Yes, sir.
Interaction
there. There's just some places in the world that don't have access to laboratories like they do, perhaps in California, but why just wanted to mention it. Tissue analysis is really amazing. I think we can't overemphasize that. This is a place that something is wrong. I need to take the sample and figure out what it is. So, anyway, one of our presentations was on that topic, and he was not able to make it, but he was a consulting horticulturist that runs a laboratory. So he sees a lot of problems and has to convince his farmers that there's an issue and how to address that.
And especially if we have an interaction with a lot of calcium, like the doctor, it's really tough to try to analyze it just with a leaf.
That's right. I would never do that personally. That's issue test.
Yeah.
So maybe, some of you have experience both with the tissue testing. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about soil testing in a minute and media testing, but love to hear some of your successes or failures with visual symptoms and diagnosing problems, and then maybe how that's led to tissue analysis as well. But your hand in the back there, please. Just speak loud.
Oh, no problem. I got big voice.
Okay.
First of all, thank you very much for your presentation. So I am a PhD student at Rutgers University that studies plant nutrition and hydroponics. So this is more of a more general observation that from my perspective. So I'm always very eager to learn more about plant nutrition, especially for topics like this. But through my search, I have never found, maybe my search was shallow, but across the United States, I didn't found a class called Advanced Plant Nutrition or nutrition deficiency diagnosis. I've never seen things like these. Some resource I can get. So sometimes in some soil class, I see some of these, and some other class talks about fertilizers that go in a little bit on these things. But I never had a class or had a chance to really find a professor and try to let the professor teach me advanced plant nutrition. So first of all, what do you think? Is this something that you see as well? And also, do you have any resource, say, for example, continuing education class or something like that, that is available to students like us that really try to learn things like these?
This plant nutrition class was taught by Paul Nelson at NC State. He's one of the pioneers. Okay, and he has retired lately. He's retired. I think there are other universities offering, but like fertility management classes are being offered, and not based on crops. But you might want to check out there's also some textbooks available, and then somebody want to comment on that.
That's a good question. The drinking pool, the scientists and students and resources, please.
I don't know of an advanced plant nutrition that's available in class, but I know that there's a Ron Winker at NC State teaches an online nutrition diagnostics class that's available. Whether it's available at Rutgers, I'm not sure, but you guys make it available at other universities.
Well, thank you for mentioning Brian. Brian is also a great resource for some of these images. Dharma has developed a really unique kind of product system, and Brian's system uses a solid media of some sort. They recently produced a book on tobacco nutrition that has these images that you just won't believe. And some other crops, the tobacco one is the one I saw most recently. But, so I think between Dharma's group and the NC State group, they're probably pushing this forward as much as anyone. There may be some other ideas out there or programs I'm not aware of. Please, okay, the microphone. You didn't have a good loud voice.
The Controlled Environment Ag Center at the University of Arizona is a leader in this type of thing, and they do consist. I'm not involved with them, but I know a lot of them. Controlled Environment Agriculture Center at the University of Arizona, and they do a tremendous amount of work on hydroponic production systems. They have lunar modules, they have Mars modules, they have a module with the South Pole. So they are some of the leaders in my bed is, I can't tell you for sure, but my bed is, they probably have nutritional information either on their website or programming-wise.
Great. That's why we're here, to share resources and learn from each other. So that's true. That's the Tucson. I want to make sure I understand. Anyone else has had some experience both with diagnosing field problems visually or sort of visual in the laboratory? Then?
Thank you. What helps me to distinguish nutrient deficiencies from viruses or diseases is to observe the crop at the field level, because usually the symptoms are much more uniform when we talk about the nutrient deficiency, rather than, especially in the initial stage, rather than in the case of a viruses or a disease problem. And I have one question to Dharma. May this different coloring of the nitrogen deficiency, may this be related to the carotene content of the crops? Do you think this may be an explanation?
That's a good questions, but we notice that plants that are like blueberry, it's a slow-growing species, okay? And if we happen to grow a tree crops, fast-growing, like good example would be fig, okay? Those symptoms will not develop. It takes longer. It takes about 5 months under totally deprived conditions, okay? Because they were able to, not being able to translocate, it caused a root death, okay? So you have to shelve the project, okay? Blueberry is high in beta-carotene, what you say, like the superfood, and the flavonoids presence inside that causes that. And also, blueberry plants that are tolerant of low pH, they also tolerant of aluminum, okay? So they're able to take it up these metals, and then they bind with the co-pigment in it, and they change its color. This is a good example with hydrangea, okay? Hydrangea is bind with a caffeol cunic acid, aluminum binds with the metal, so it changes color to blue. It's not a pH factor, it's a metal. So it's, in the case of high, what do you call the pigment, so that could be changing like in broccoli. It's a cold season crop, cool season crop. So maybe it's not so drastic. So you are starting to see the subtle rainbow colors before you leads up to the yellowing. Because the yellowing is fast, drastic, very fast that you are seeing it. Maybe it is not so much a pigment and other pigment present in it. It's too fast. In the tropics, this happens also. We don't have a fall color. But then if it is slow, the temperature plays a part and plants have acclimated or what I. That's what I think is could be the reason. But other things come into play also. Okay.
So,